Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, it's Joe McGee. We're going through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and we're pretty much taking it methodical. So today we are in Genesis chapter 6, and we're kind of closing up creation, what happened, all the people that were born, who did what, who begat what. And so we're coming right up to real close to the story of Noah. And so before we do that, I'm going to just take a little time to realize there's always been a war going on, a spiritual battle. And it took place in the heavens. So when God doesn't ask us to go into battle without giving us our weapons. And so it's a war. It's a spiritual war, spiritual warfare. So God gave us four things we do in war. Number one is prayer. And we're going to cover it in a little detail. Prayer is a really important thing. It's more than God blesses food to my body in Jesus' name, amen. It's a whole lot more important than that. We're going to talk about praise. Because people say, well, I don't feel God. Well, that's because God inhabits praise. If you're not ever thanking him, he doesn't show up. God shows up or he gets thanked. Then we're going to talk about preaching. Why? Because the world's ignorant. They're blinded by the devil. They need to know the truth. The truth will set you free. So if nobody's going to preach, how are they going to know? Then we're going to talk about testimony. The Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Giving a testimony is powerful. You know, Paul was brought before King Agrippa, and all Paul did, he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. Prayed in the Holy Ghost all the time, but all he did was give his testimony. Paul giving his testimony to King Agrippa, and finally King Agrippa yelled at him, Paul, shut up, shut up. You're about to convert me. Well, how did Paul convert King Agrippa almost? Giving his testimony. So testimony is a weapon, giving you testimony. So today what we're going to do, we're going to spend some time, we're going to talk about probably the first two things, the weapon of prayer. So if you got a pencil paper, you might want to take some notes. This is really good stuff. So the weapon of prayer, 2 Corinthians 10:4. 2 Corinthians 10:4. So it says this, We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and destroy false arguments. So what's a weapon? Well, it's prayer. Lord, I'm getting ready to go. I pray for my boss every day when I was in the electrical industry. Father, bless my boss. Give him wisdom. Surround him with divine favor. He's going to make great decisions for our company that's going to bless us. And so were all your bosses saved? Most of them were not, but I prayed for them every day. God told Daniel to pray for Nebuchadnezzar. Is Nebuchadnezzar going to get saved? No, he's going to turn to a billy goat and eat grass for 7 years. But God said, Daniel, I need you to pray for Nebuchadnezzar. And so he prayed for him 3 times a day. He got arrested for praying because the devil used other heathens trying to make King Nebuchadnezzar make a law against praying. And so Daniel was praying 3 times a day. Well, who's he praying for? He's praying for Nebuchadnezzar. So he gets thrown in jail. Now, Daniel never opened his mouth. He didn't say, hey, ignorant king, do you know who I'm praying for? I'm praying for you. Well, because Daniel did not open his mouth, the lions did not open their mouth. So, prayer is a weapon. Ephesians 6:18. Pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. What are you supposed to do? Pray for other believers. Pray for my spouse, pray for my kids, pray for my neighbors, pray for the believers in my church. I'm to do that. Why? It's not just a religious thing. It's a needed thing. Romans 8:26. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit will pray through us. The Holy Spirit will pray the perfect will of God. So many times we'll pray, Father, I don't know what it is you want, but I believe the Holy Spirit's going to give me revelation, and I'm going to pray according to your perfect will. Acts chapter 12, verse 1 through 6. Oh, this is good. Acts 12, 1 through 6. Now, all the scriptures I'm reading from are from the New Living Translation. It's the Bible I use all the time. There are other great translations. It's just the one that I like. So Acts chapter 12, 1 through 6. James been killed. Peter's in prison. It's about that time King Herod Agrippa began to persecute some believers in the church. He had the apostle James, John's brother, killed with a sword. When Herod saw how much it pleased the Jewish people, he also arrested Peter. Hey, that worked out good. lest arrest another one of these Christians. Well, this took place during Passover. So then he imprisoned him, placed him under guard, four squads, four soldiers each. So he got 16 guards. I mean, man, he's a dangerous guy. He got 16 guards watching him. Herod intended to bring Peter out for public trial after the Passover. But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed earnestly for him. What happened, Peter? He got arrested. Was he supposed to do? No. What did the church do? The church prayed earnestly for him. And the night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fast with two chains between two soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gate. Suddenly, there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. And the angel struck him on the side to wake him up. "Quick, get up," the angel said. And at that moment, the chains fell off his wrist. Then the angel told him, "Get dressed, put on your sandals." And he did. "Now put on your coat and follow me," the angel ordered. So Peter left the cell, following the angel. All the time he thought that he was in a vision. He thought he was dreaming. He didn't realize it was actually happening. Well, they passed the first and the second guard post and came to the iron gate leading to the city. And this opened for them all by itself. So they passed through, they started walking down the street, and then the angel suddenly left. Verse 11, finally Peter came to his senses. "Oh man, it's really true. The Lord has sent an angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me." Woo, have mercy. I mean, if you put that in a movie, nobody really would believe it. What happened? Well, the church prayed. What happened? An angel showed up. Did what? Chains fell off his wrist. And he walked past all the guards. 16 guards. He walked past every one of them. Nobody woke up. He walked past every one of them. And he got outside. Now, Acts chapter 12, verse 19. When Agrippa heard, that he had escaped, he is mad. So he ordered a thorough search. But he couldn't find him. He couldn't find Peter. He couldn't find him anywhere. So Herod interrogated the guards. Then he sentenced all 16 guards to death. He killed all 16 of the guards that were guarding Peter. They were asleep because the angel got involved. Afterward, Herod left Judah to stay in Caesarea for a while. Verse 20. Now Herod was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. So he sent a delegation to make peace. They'd sent a delegation to make peace with them because their cities were dependent on Herod's country for food. So the delegates won support of Blastus, Herod's personal assistant, and an appointment with Herod was granted. When they arrived, Herod put on his royal robes, sat on his throne, and he made a speech to them. And the people gave him a great ovation. Ooh, man, what a speech maker. That man is a speech making machine. Shouting, the people began to shout, "It's the voice of God, not of man." Verse 23, instantly an angel of the Lord struck Herod with a sickness because he accepted the people's worship instead of giving the glory to God. So he was consumed with worms, and he died. Now, I don't know how you want to think about that. He said he was consumed with worms. Where at? Well, I'm assuming it's in intestines. Because, you've been overseas. I've been to Africa a few times. They get worms in their intestines. It's nasty. I mean, you got to get them out because they'll live in there, and they'll consume your whole body. He was consumed with worms, and he died. Whew, nasty. That is one nasty thing. So, prayer. Prayer is a powerful thing. So, had the church not prayed, he wouldn't have got delivered. Somebody's got to pray. Someone needs to pray. Well, the second web we have is called praise. Praise. What's that? Well, it's thanking God. If you go to heaven, the Bible says there's four angels around the throne of God who do nothing but praise God. They got six wings. With two wings, they cover their face. With two wings, they cover their feet. With two wings, they fly. They have eyeballs on all four sides of their head, and all they do is praise God. So the Bible says if you go to heaven in the book of Revelation, if you could look and see what's going on, these four angels do nothing for eternity but praise God. And so the Bible says one angel volleys across the throne, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come." Then the angel on the other side volleys back, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come." Then the other angel volleys across, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was, is, and is to come." And then the fourth angel volleys, "Holy, holy, holy It's the Lord God Almighty who was and is and is to come. These angels never do anything for eternity but praise God. Because the Bible says God inhabits praise. God goes where he gets thanked. God goes where he gets praise. God will inhabit our praise. That's why it's called the sacrifice of praise. You ever wonder about that? The sacrifice. Why? I don't feel like praising God. Well, what's wrong? Well, because I'm in a mess and my life's a mess and I don't feel like praising God for nothing. Well, if you want God to show up, you might want to start thanking him in advance. God inhabits praise. You got to thank him before it shows up. Thank him ahead of time. So it's a weapon. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 10 through 11, it says, "You blew with your wind, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, O glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, awesome in praises, doing wonders?" What's he talking about? Man, when he drowned the whole Egyptian army, they said, what happened? Well, somebody was being thankful. He says, fearful in praises, awesome in praises, doing wonders. Woo, have mercy. Somebody's even, you need to start thanking God. Psalm 22:23. Praise the Lord, all you who fear him. Honor him, all you descendants of Jacob. Show him reverence, all you descendants of Israel. So what's it saying to do? I need to praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise. If you fear God, you need to praise God. Fear him, it comes with praise. I like this, Psalm 8, verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you've ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. What does it make me? You know, the children that followed Jesus all the time, the disciples got upset because kids hung out with Jesus all the time. They loved hanging out with Jesus. Now, listen, I grew up in a big family. Kids don't like people that are ugly and mean. Kids like people that are fun to be with. Evidently, Jesus was fun to be with because kids were around him all the time. And the disciples said, man, get rid of these kids. Get rid of these kids. They're messing us up. Jesus said, if you offend one of these little kids that love me, if you offend one of them, it would be better for you that you hung a millstone around your neck, swam out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee and jumped out of the boat or just rowed out and jumped out of the, and drowned yourself. You'd be better off drowning yourself in the Sea of Galilee than to offend one of these kids who believe in me. It's powerful. So it starts in childhood. And when Jesus was coming back in to the temple, you know, right before he went to the cross, they were waving palm branches and laying them down in front of him. And they were singing, "Hosanna in the highest." He said, no, that's what I'm here for. God loves praise. And what does praise do? Well, it silences the enemy and the avenger. How do you silence the devil? Start thanking God. I don't care what you're going through. Get your armpits up and thank God. Best thing you ever do, start thanking God. Whatever. I don't care if you just got laid off, you got a bad report from the doctor, your kid's in trouble at school. Just take it. Father, I want to thank you. You work all things out to my good. Father, I want to thank you. You're a good God. You watch over me. You see everything that's coming. You've already made a way of escape. You've already made a way out. So God loves praise. Matthew 21, verse 15 and 16. The leading priest and the teachers of the religious law saw these wonderful miracles and heard even the children in the temple shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David." Now, what do they get mad about? Children were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David." But the leaders were indignant. They asked Jesus, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" Jesus replied, "Haven't you read the scriptures? But they say you have taught children and infants to give you praise." So Jesus was reminding what the Bible said. The Bible's already told you, if you read in Psalms, that we teach children to give praise. It's just natural for them. They just naturally praise God. And so that's what we're supposed to do. So if God inhabits praise, how do you get God to show up? Well, have you thanked him lately? No. Well, you might want to start thanking him. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus' prayer of thanksgiving. At that time, Jesus prayed this prayer. "O Father of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever. Thank you for revealing them to the childlike." Why the Bible said children inhabit, God inhabits the praise of children? Jesus prayed, Father, I thank you for revealing who you are to those that are childlike. Not arrogant, not prideful, not lifted up. You'd like to reveal yourself to those that are simple. God reveals himself, not to the arrogant, not to the haughty, not to the high-minded, but to the simple. Revelation 16, verse 13. Revelation 16, 13. And I saw three evil spirits. It's talking about, you know, the end times. And I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs leap from the mouths of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. They are demonic spirits who work miracles and go to all the rulers of the world to gather them together for battle against the Lord on the great judgment day, the God Almighty. So there's three evil spirits, demonic spirits, who work miracles, go to all the rulers of the world. This is combat in Revelation, what's going to happen in the end times. They gather them together for battle against the Lord, Armageddon. They're gathering together in Armageddon. The Bible says praise that silences Satan comes out of the mouth of people, God's people. How do you shut the devil up? God's people need to get their mouth open. Satanic spiritual forces are released through the mouths of those who are on Satan's side. So the side uses its mouth most effectively to win the war. The side that uses its mouth. Christians need to use their mouth. What are you in a war? Where's your weapon? Praise. Praise is a weapon. I need to start thanking God. Well, I don't see it. Well, thank him ahead of time. Father, I want to thank you for delivering me. I want to thank you for blessing me. I want to thank you for restoring me. I want to thank you for healing me. I want to thank you for prospering. I want to thank you for surrounding me with divine favor. Psalm 512, you will surround the righteous with divine favor. People can like us not even know why. Thank you, Father. Then Psalm 149, verse 6 to 9. Let the praises of God be in your mouth, and a sharp sword be in your hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with shackles and their leaders with iron chains, to execute judgment written against them. This is the glorious privilege of his faithful ones. Praise the Lord. Well, how do I get all this privilege? How do I get this privilege? Well, I need to let the praise of God be in my mouth. It starts with praising God. And then the last scripture, this is really good. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2 and 3. Don't you realize that someday we believers will judge the world? And since you're going to judge the world, can't you decide even these little things among yourselves? Don't you realize that we will one day judge angels? So you should surely be able to resolve ordinary disputes in your everyday life. So don't ever get caught up in just everyday fighting and hollering and griping and whatever. Because one day we're going to judge angels. We're the people of God. Start acting like it. Well, it starts acting like it because you start thinking like it. And that's why the Bible says, think on these things, whatever is lovely, honest, just, praiseworthy, but good report. Think on these things. Don't think on those things. So I tell my family, watch what you read. Watch what you listen to. Watch what you watch on a movie or TV. Guard your heart with all diligence, rather than the issues of life. We've been promised victory. We've been promised victory. It is a war. It is a war. We've been promised victory. So we got to know who are our weapons. Well, the first two are prayer. God answers prayer. And number two is praise. God hangs out where he gets thanked. God shows up where he gets appreciated. God loves praise. Prayer and praise are two of the most powerful weapons you will ever know in your life. So thanks for listening today. We're going to pick up part two next time. So stay tuned. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.